Blog Talk Radio.
And again.
Welcome to Desperate House Witches. I'm Dorian Wallace, joined as always by my lovely sister Rena Starr. How you doing, Mama?
Hey, everybody. What's up? What's up? What's up? All right. You have landed on Desperate House Witches. If you have not listened to our show before, welcome. Happy to have you. Desperate House Witches is not a GPG or even an R-rated show. They wouldn't even give me an X. So if dirty talk and foul language and body part functions and all of that stuff is annoying to you, you are excused from the room. Other than that, glad to have y'all here. Want to give a shout out, as always, to our sponsors. Sponsor The Angry Cauldron at theangrycauldron.com for all of your interesting Wiccan needs and overseas shipping of said items. The Angry Cauldron is amazing. Still loving my Brigid candle. Finished my Green Man candle. Used it in a money spell. Tip to the wise. If they're still available, go get you some. Because I do a lot of job spells for people. And I'm telling you, that Green Man candle, I finished a spell on a Wednesday. It was announced to me on a Friday, same week. Intended person had received what we had asked for. So we praise the gods for that. Great Mother and Great Father, thank you for that wonderful blessing. So, theangrycauldron.com. Get there. Be there. They have amazing products, bath bombs, oils, private readings, special sessions. They do it all. So go over there at theangrycauldron.com. Also, our other sponsor, the fabulous Wicked Witch herself, Dorothy Morrison, who, if you've been paying attention to social media, is coming out with a new goodie tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm telling you, it's going to be great. It is a love ornament. Yes. Rekindle the old, start up the new. Fantastic. Can't wait to get my hands on one because, you know, I am a purveyor of all things Dorothy Morrison. So head on over to WickedWitchStudios.com. That's WickedWitchStudios with an S at the end, .com. And check out her other goods as well. Fantastic oils, candles, and other goodies for all of your crafting needs, and you know what I mean by crafting. All right. So before my sister launches, I'm going to say something. I have a statement to make. I've been woefully out of the loop news-wise because I have been buried by work. But one thing I will say, once again, the moron in the White House has said, I didn't realize this job was so hard. Well, motherfucker, what did you think was going to be the job? What did you think you were going to have to, did you think you were going to sit on your golden fucking throne and rule from on high while minions did your bidding? Trust me, he's got minions doing his bidding. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, being a president is work. You get into public service because you wish to be a public servant. And that means improving the lives of all your people. Because technically, you are looking after the entire United States. So guess what? It's not a job for the faint of heart or the stupid of brain. Resign now. Save face as much as possible before you start a nuclear fucking war. Thank you. Rant over.
Yeah, that honestly scares me, the talk of, you know, now he's on to North Korea, and it's just like, why do you want to mess with that crazy motherfucker? You know, I mean, because that dude is just as crazy as our dude, you know, which I say that.
Actually, he's crazier. He's crazier than the one we've got because their people are so terrified and so brainwashed that they can't speak. We at least can still speak in this country. I don't know for how long that's going to fucking last. But the fact of the matter is North Korea is a scary place, and this guy wants to blow shit up. And he would be very fucking happy to show his power over the United States by blowing parts of it up or all of it. Who the fuck knows? They've been testing bombs and launching rockets, and it's insane. And they can potentially launch a rocket that will land somewhere in California. No, thank you. Somebody needs to dial this shit back.
Yeah, like, right?
Someone needs to break into the Oval Office and say, you're too dangerous to lead. We need to stop you right now. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the problem. You know, he's surrounded by nothing but people like him, or even worse. You know, because they have been in politics for ages. And it's just, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. You know, I've got numerous friends and family out there. And speaking of California, I did want to acknowledge that today is the 25-year anniversary of the LA riots.
Yep.
Which I think I've spoken a little bit about them before, but I was there when they happened. Luckily, I lived about an hour and a half from LA, but it reached all across Southern California. And, you know, I just wanted to acknowledge that and acknowledge the people who lost their lives. And Rodney King is, you know, passed now. He, strange situation. I don't quite remember what happened, but I know he was found in the bottom of a swimming pool in the town that I grew up in, which was Rialto. Just wanted to give a nod to that. Don't want to talk too much about it because it was, I'm sure they will cover plenty of it on the news, and it's not a time in my life that I like to remember. So anyway, so there is a couple things I want to talk about. And normally I'm like, I usually have a fairly boring week, but it's been an exciting week for me. Tomorrow I am heading out to Kings Mountain for a little bit. And it's going on right now, and you know, people are out there camping for the big Beltane brouhaha put on by our friends, the North Carolina Piedmont Church of Wicca. So if you are in the area, either look them up. I'll post the link later. But look them up, head out. It's always a fun time. It's very family friendly. Keep in mind, there is no alcohol, no drugs, none of that stuff. So don't bring it with you. It's not that kind of party. But they do hold public circles, so, and anybody is welcome to join in. So if you would like to, if you are new to the craft and you would like to see a ceremony held or participate in one, that's a good opportunity. So yay Beltane.
Beltane.
Yeah, and happy Beltane soon, everybody.
Yes.
Hopefully, y'all got your plans in place. I am, like my sister, trying to stay cool today.
Holy crap. What the fuck happened? I mean, for
right?
real.
Summer with a vengeance. It's like, you know, all the days that it was supposed to be warm for spring and you know, and we were having the cold snaps back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, just this week we've been having nothing but like thunderstorms, which, you know, is bound to happen around this time of year. It's not unusual, but it's been like every other day. And then this week has been, I think, 2 or 3 days in a row, something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's nuts.
But we are officially out of the drought. So, yay, North Carolina, we are out of the drought.
Yay.
What else did I want to get to? There was something else. Oh, before I make our announcement, because we do have an announcement. I had caught this on Twitter like a couple of hours ago. Apparently, I don't mean to laugh. I don't have all the details yet, but it just struck me as kind of funny because there was something called a fire. Let me look on Twitter real quick. It was like a fire festival, I think it was called.
Yeah.
And it was put on by Ja Rule. I don't know the correct pronunciation. He's a fairly cool guy, but apparently he's in some deep shit. 'Cause
really?
They had like this music festival or some kind of festival that was supposed to be pretty much for rich people. Fire Festival. Let me read some of these to you. Fire Festival is an art installation where mediocre people realize what their lives would be without rich parents. So, there are some, this was set up to be on an exclusive island in the Bahamas, and people paid upward from like $500 to like $5,000, you know, that's the range. And I don't quite know exactly what they were supposed to be doing, but it was supposed to be this luxurious trip, and it was exclusive. It was pretty much only for rich people. And there was going to be big headliners playing, you know, and accommodations. Well, some of these people arrived after paying like $1,400, $5,000, something like that. And there ain't shit there.
What?
Yes. It's
what
like
the hell?
Yeah, apparently there's like tents or something, and there's like the catering, it's not there. And there's like no food, no accommodations. And it's just a hot mess. And some of these people who made it out there are literally trapped there right now. They are trying to figure out how to get them off the island. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But it's just like, you know, I'm having a hard time feeling sorry for these people.
It's like Survivor for wealthy people.
Exactly.
Damn.
Here, I'm gonna put you in, you know, in regular people housing. You know, you're gonna have to live like the rest of us folks. Somebody called it what was it? Lord of the Fireflies.
Yeah.
It's mostly young people, and they're mostly wealthy. And it's like I'm sorry, but I don't really have much pity. If you're going to pay that much money and you got scammed, boo fucking who for you? Because I could have bought a completely working car with what you spent for a ticket out there. You know, so I hope they get home safe. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I don't blame rich people for being rich. You know, there is a certain thing about luck of the draw. you know, how far my pity extends for anybody in a situation where they got ripped off is that's bullshit. Nobody should get ripped off. However, if you didn't investigate the facilities well enough or you trusted somebody's word, anybody can get taken, including and especially rich people. I remind you of the Ponzi scam and the Ponzi artist extraordinaire Bernie Madoff. You know, people want to believe certain things, and it's not necessarily because they're greedy. But by the same token, yeah, you ought to have known a little bit more about what you were getting into, because this sounds like something that somebody tried to set up for the very first time and didn't really have a clue.
Exactly. Exactly. And I do not wish any harm on anybody. I hope all those kids make it off that island safe. I don't have pity because I've seen how some of these people act. You know, this is like the rich kids of Instagram type of people, where they're like posting, oh, had to go to Hermes or Versace, and you know, coming out with an entire house full. You know, what am I trying to say? Like a mortgage payment, you know, times 10 or even more than that. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. If you have the money, awesome, have fun with it, but don't rub it in people's faces, because nobody's going to feel sorry for you when this kind of shit happens to you. I'm sorry. They'll be fine, because mommy and daddy will send a helicopter out for people. They'll bring them back to Miami. You know? It's like, you know, being trapped is like, okay, you may have to spend the night sleeping in the sand. You know how many people do that every day? Fuck you. Sorry. I got no pity. You know, I got no pity outside of their safety. You know, I hope they stay safe. They'll get home. They're fine. It's just they're pissed off because it wasn't the luxury yacht-filled vacation or weekend they had imagined. It's like, yeah, whatever. You'll have another opportunity with your own shit next weekend. Who cares? You know, get over it. You'll get your money back. But I digress.
Will they actually get their money back? Is that in the works for it?
Oh, I'm sure they will. I'm pretty sure they will. You know, otherwise there will be lawsuits one way or another. They will get their money back. You know.
Wow.
I mean, this kind of thing, it can. Yeah, they can wait for a couple months. It's like chump change to these people. So, you know, otherwise, I mean, really, seriously, who would pay $5,000 to go on an exclusive trip for a weekend?
I have the money. Fuck, I would.
Yeah.
I like travel.
But if you had the money, it wouldn't hurt you. It wouldn't really put a dent, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm
But
saying.
I'd be pissed. See, but I don't the idea of getting ripped off. If I was expecting something because that's what was promised and that wasn't delivered, I don't care who you are, you're going to be pissed, and rightfully so. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, I'd fucking do it. Shit, if I had that kind of money, yeah, all day, every day. All day, every day, twice on Sunday. Hello. I'm just saying. I would love it. I dream about, well, not really dream about it, but I think about what that kind of life might be like. But here's the thing I've noticed. A lot of people who have that kind of money, you know, they get to go certain places and do certain things, but they're as fucking miserable as everybody else.
Oh, God, yeah, they're humans.
Yeah.
Humans are miserable things, you know? That's how we're built, to an extent, you know?
I don't think so.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's easier to make ourselves cry in a bubble of money, but I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you. What?
Oh, no, you're fine. I was just saying, you know, of course, when you don't have to worry about certain things, definitely life is easier. I completely agree with that. But
oh, yeah.
I don't know that a lifetime of wealth and privilege is necessarily a healthy thing for people. You lose a sense of compassion for a lot of people. You lose a sense of compassion over time because you don't relate anymore to the issues that struggling people are going through. And I think it's really hard because, you know, I've been around rich people. You know, I work for rich people. And, you know, one in particular who's moved on since, you know, didn't understand why anyone would smoke cigarettes. And I related a story to him about how at some point in my life, I had to choose between feeding my kids. You know, there was enough to feed the kids if I didn't eat, but I smoked cigarettes. So I opted to smoke cigarettes and feed my children.
Yeah.
You know, and I said to him, you will never understand what that's like because you were raised very well off. You were raised by, you know, you have a very rich family and more power to you. But the fact that you would even judge somebody, and I no longer smoke cigarettes, but, you know, the fact that you would judge somebody and have literally no clue about who this person is, what this person's lived through, or anything else for that matter, you need to step it back because you're coming off like an asshole.
Yeah.
Okay? And, never heard about it again. He shut up about it, never made any other mention of anything to anybody who smoked, and there were a lot of us who did at the time. So,
yeah.
You know, there are reasons why people do things. There are reasons why people have situations in their lives that are sometimes beyond their control. Compassion is the key, truly. Truly,
yeah.
Compassion is the key. Until you actually know what the fuck somebody's going through, it's really difficult to have a valid opinion on how they should change.
The same could be said, you know, from my little judgy moment just there, but
damn, that is a loud ass. I apologize. That is a loud ass train. Continue, sis. I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's okay. No, it's, you know, see, I think I've been kind of, I mean, not poor. I've been poor. I've been like dirt poor, you know, but I'm to the point where, you know, it's like I've had just enough to sustain for so long that if I ever won money, it's like I wouldn't really change much. You know, you would not see me in Versace. You would not see me buying those expensive things, but I would get, you know, like what I wanted, but I wouldn't buy a yacht. I'd like, you know, I'd donate a good portion of it. If there was enough that I didn't need it, my friends, my family, you know, and my kids were set up, I would donate, you know,
if I had that kind of money, my ambition is to build a Wiccan or pagan rather retirement home.
Yes, absolutely. A safe haven for us.
Mhm.
Oh, before we welcome our guest on, because we kind of went down a crossroad there. I have been working on, and it's not completely ready yet. I do have one video up, but we are going to be launching a YouTube channel. The reason I wanted to do this was because, you know, and we've talked, like, with Taliesin about this, and another, you know, thing with tonight's guest, doing a live broadcast from festivals and events and stuff like that, which is easily done with YouTube. So I am going to be working on backing up all our archives and uploading those to the channel. So I will, excuse me, I will be passing along the link to our page. Please like and subscribe. We would love that.
Yes, we would.
So, yay! We're expanding.
Yay, expansion. We like expansion.
Yes. Except in the waistline. We don't like expansion there.
No, we don't want no bodily expansions, thank you.
Exactly. Unless, well, I don't know. I could do with the boobs. You know, please just put them back where they used to.
I'll lend you some of mine. I'm sorry. I've lost weight, but the girls are still hanging in there. Woo!
buddy. I don't want mine any bigger. I just want them back where they were supposed to be.
I would like the girls picked up. Lucy and Ethel are like, you know, the view from down here is getting kind of uncomfortable. Can you fix this? So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Hey, you need to trim your toenail.
Yeah. Girl, you need a pedicure. We just noticed. Hello.
Yeah. Mine are like, hey, you need to shave your legs. It's about time, Sasquatch.
Oh, jeez. Too funny.
Oh, jeez. It is hot up in this office.
It is hot as a bitch everywhere. I am telling you, I can't handle this bullshit. It's fucking hot.
Yeah. Is it fall yet?
No.
Boo.
Beltane is the midway point between spring and summer. Guess what? You have just started in the heat. But here's the interesting thing. Our weather has been so skewed. Winter didn't even really happen this year, except for like 2 weeks worth.
Yeah.
And that was it. It's been super warm. Yeah, but global study needs more global warming needs more study. Yeah, right. Okay. But it's real. It's really happening. You know, I joke. That was a joke. But yeah, it's bad. It's brutal. It's fucking brutal. But I think that the seasons are obliterating themselves, and I do also believe that this summer will be wretchedly hot in spots, but it will also be interestingly and unexpectedly cool in spots, because that's how winter was, and it just seems to be the pattern, the way things are going. So I find this all very interesting. Some pretty disturbing as well, because it's killing bees, it's killing trees, and it's eventually going to kill us if Trump doesn't take care of that first. So that's, you know, a little discouraging. But onward and upward, if we wallow, we've already given in, and I refuse to give in. So folks, don't give in. We need to fight the good fight and keep on. We need to keep on keeping on. Call out the injustices where we see it, call out the bullshit where we see it, and continue to fight the good fight. That's what it's about.
Exactly.
There you go. Off the soapbox.
All right. Well, let us welcome our guest, Donna.
Yes, Miss Star Bustamante.
Hello.
Hey. Hey.
Hey, girl.
How are you?
So, I'm good, and, you know, it's a little warm here, but nothing like you poor people down in Charlotte are getting to have today.
Yeah.
The
mountains are lovely.
I think my car was reading when I was in the car line picking out my youngest son from school. It was like it got up to 105 in the car. I was like, no, thank you, piss off. Go away.
Wow.
That's
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, done with it already. I'm over it.
Yeah,
seriously. How are you going up there?
Things here are, well, you know, we just had all of that rain.
Yeah.
Which, for most of the state, that means that you're out of the drought. But parts of western North Carolina are still in not severe, but there still is some drought up here. So we were really glad for the rain. And it looks like we're going to get a little bit more maybe this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're... I would just like to not it all be at one time.
Yeah.
You know, not months and months of no rain and then get a foot of rain in 3 days. That's really kind of counterproductive.
Yeah, the ground doesn't have a chance to absorb the water, so it's almost it's almost like it didn't rain.
Well, yeah, but it causes flooding and erodes the soil and, you know, trees fall on people. And they never fall. The trees never fall on the people that you would like for the trees to fall on.
I know, right?
I know. Maybe I need to hone my skills a little better. I don't know.
It's too funny.
Better aim.
I know, right?
Well,
makes perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
The secret is no dropping trees or houses on people before coffee.
Before coffee?
Yeah. You have to have at least one or two cups in there. Or something. And I just realized, I feel bad for saying that now because my poor sister, she can't have coffee.
And that is a tragedy.
Well, hopefully it's a temporary tragedy.
It better
be. They're still weeding out the triggers for my migraines. So that's fun. Anyway, Star, so what else is going on?
Well, we're kicking it into high gear, promoting Mystic South.
Yay.
Which is going to be in Atlanta. The 21st through the 23rd at the Crown Plaza Ravinia on the perimeter. And we're just really excited. I think it's going to be great.
I do too. So how
you guys
preparations?
Are going to broadcast live from,
yes, we
from
are.
Mystic South on Friday night.
That's right. Very excited about that. Very. Tell people about who's in the lineup.
Well, our headliners are Dorothy Morrison.
Yay!
Byron Ballard.
Yay!
Orion Foxwood.
Yay!
Katrina Messenger. And Tuatha Dea is our musical headliner.
We love them. They're such nice.
They're really fabulous. All of our headliners are really fabulous. Dorothy Morrison, I don't think your listeners probably know everything about Dorothy Morrison that there is to know, because she's a regular on your show.
Yeah, she's amazing.
But for people that aren't familiar with the amazing Byron Ballard, she is our own Asheville's Village Witch and practices Appalachian folk magic and is a forensic folklorist. And last year, actually, she and I went to Scotland, and she spent a month in Scotland. I was only there for 2 weeks. She was doing research for more books on where a lot of the folk magic that's practiced in Appalachia, you know, what a lot of its points of origin are. And then Orion Foxwood is from the fairy tradition. He has
And he's also a hoodoo practitioner. So he's going to be speaking on both of those topics at Mystic South. And then Katrina Messenger is, I think the best term to describe her is really a mystic. And she's written a couple of really wonderful books, one of which is has a serious academic bent to it. If you're not familiar with her, you definitely should check out her book. The book of hers that I've read that is really, really excellent is Elemental Psychology, with the subtitle of Using Jungian Psychological Elements for Spiritual Development. She is absolutely brilliant. I love her, and we're so excited that she has agreed to be part of our little conference. And Tuatha Dea, you know, for those that don't know who they are a crazy combination of Celtic music and tribal rhythms and lots of drumming. And their new album is just about to be released, and it's called Kilts and Corsets, I believe.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
I love the title.
It's being released, I think just like either the end of this month or the beginning of next month. But they just rock the house. They'll be doing a concert. They'll also be doing some workshops.
Awesome.
Anybody that's not seen them, if you have a chance to see them, you should definitely check it out. And their CD is due to be released on June 3rd. So they are a lot of fun. But then we also have a ton of other fabulous presenters. I was just completely bowled over by the number of submissions that we've had. If you follow us on Facebook, we've been trying to highlight and that's Mystic South Conference. We have a page set up. We've been trying to highlight the number of vendors that we had. I mean, we had so many people that wanted to vend. It was unbelievable. And also the amount of submissions. We were not prepared for. We thought, you know, it's our first year. Maybe we'll get, you know, 40 submissions. What we ended up with was like 70 submissions. And people are still submitting submissions that, you know, in case somebody cancels, there's a waiting list. I'm just really amazed.
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really exciting, I think.
Well, it is exciting. And, you know, people that I was surprised by not only the number, but the quality of submissions that we got. There is also an academic, in addition to just regular workshops, we also have an academic track, which we only had 10 submissions for that academic track, which, and I mean, this is like if you were going to present. We followed the same procedures, and like if you were going to submit to a symposium at Harvard or any major university, that is the criteria or a similar criteria for what we use to decide what papers to accept. And so there'll be 10 papers that will be presented at the conference. It'll be spread out over the 3 days, and I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am about how well this has come together, and I have to give a shout out to our staff, because I have the good fortune to work with some of the brightest and sharpest and most brilliant people that are out there within the pagan sphere. Heather Green, who is the editor of The Wild Hunt, Marla Robertson, who is just, she is in charge of handling all of the workshops and scheduling all of that. She's been an amazing force in keeping us all on track and telling us, this is what we need. You know, why have you not done this yet? Do this. Ryan Dennison and Sarah Amos are overseeing the academic track. And I mean, they've done a great job of pulling this all together. Gypsy Teague is our vendor coordinator. And then we have Stacy. I'm gonna say her name wrong, and she'll give me grief about it later. But Atisa Saros is her name, and she has been handling the Facebook page and making sure that posts get made. And I mean, all of these people combined, I mean, it really does take a dedicated core group of people to pull all of this together, and they have just been fantastic in staying on top of it and making it all work.
Yeah, that's cool. Great. That's great. You've got a really great team working on different aspects of stuff, which is awesome. I'm very excited to be going to Atlanta, because Atlanta is a very cool town, from what I remember. I haven't been there in probably 10 or so years, so it's been a little bit, but I really like Atlanta, Five Points area. There's a lot of cool things to see and places to be and people to meet, so it's really, I think it's going to be phenomenal. I really do. Very much looking forward to it.
I really think that, you know, I am forever skeptical when it comes to trying to get a bunch of pagans to do anything.
like herding cats.
Herding cats are easier because all you need is, you know, like a can of food, and they will follow you wherever you leave them.
That's true.
But pagans, you know, some of them are gluten intolerant, some of them don't drink alcohol, you know, some of them smoke, some of them don't. It's much harder. You can't find a really common denominator. Well, I don't know, money. You might be able to attract them with money. if there's a Pied Piper and common denominator for getting pagans to do things with some kind of coordination, I'm not really sure what that would be.
Crystals and candles. We will follow candlelight. You know that.
Yeah, shiny stuff. We like shiny stuff.
Bunch of damn magpies.
Yeah, we are. We know that. Oh, hilarious. So what's griping your buttocks this week? What's pissing you off? What's happening?
Oh my God.
What in the news has really aggravated the living shit out of you? Tell me, because I have been woefully unconnected to the news this week because I've had my face first in work, and I have not been news savvy as I should be. So please give me some knowledge. I appreciate you.
Well, do you want local or national first?
Yes. I want local first. Local first, because national I can jump in on. But local first, please.
Okay. Well, here's my bitch for local. So Mission Hospital, which is the largest employer for Western North Carolina, it is massive. Within the medical industry, I mean, they own all the hospitals now in Asheville. There are two hospitals in south of here, but even those have partnered with Mission because really
they are the only ticket. So they have decided, and you ladies are going to love this. They have decided that providing services for childbirth is just too expensive for the city of Franklin they own. And they are going to discontinue doing any kind of childbirth at the hospital in Franklin.
What?
Because it's not profitable. It's just too expensive. And so they deliver at that hospital about 400 babies a year. That's a little over, more than one a day.
Wow.
And they are no longer going to provide those services beginning in July.
Where are these women supposed to go?
Well, they said that they can go to Silva, which is the next town over, I mean, that's about an hour, okay?
Yeah.
Or they can come to Asheville, which is about an hour and a half, hour 45, depending on what traffic is.
Oh, that's great in labor.
Imagine that you're, pregnant and due to deliver at any minute. You really want to, have to drive anywhere from an hour to an hour and 45 minutes to get to a hospital. But the thing about it that really pisses me off is that they make the statement, and in the same breath, then they announce that they are building a new facility. The old hospital in Franklin, they need to update it, and it's actually cheaper for them to build a new facility. So they're discontinuing services for pregnant women. Now, they're still going to provide prenatal care, but they're just not going to do any births at the hospital. So no labor and delivery.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but they can afford to build a new hospital.
Yeah.
It's just not. And to hear the director say, sometimes you just have to make really hard choices. I'm just like, okay. Yeah, so that's my number one beef and complaint of the day. I just heard that on the way home, and if I'd have seen any Nazis, I would have pulled over and punched a few just because it would have made me feel better.
Wow, I'm all for punching Nazis, if they get in my face. Yeah,
it is a fun hobby. excuse me. Nationally, I mean, this administration is just a friggin' train wreck.
No joke.
Right before you guys went live, North Korea shot off at least another one or two missiles, which exploded like almost immediately, so that it wasn't even a successful launch. But
I'm sorry.
Don't laugh. It only takes one to be a success.
No, I know. It's just he shot early.
Yeah, go figure. Yeah, no irony there.
Yeah, right. The poor man baby.
Well, yeah, and we have our own man baby who knows how he's going to respond to that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying because Trump is like a five-year-old as well.
Right.
Fortunately, we still live in a country where we can speak our minds for at least the time being, but North Korea doesn't even have that. I mean, if you look at the videos, all of these people are gray. They live in a gray country, And they are ruled by a child in an adult body who, you know, wants to satisfy whims immediately. And we have a president, I hate saying that, unfortunately, who also is ruled by his child brain or his reptilian brain instead of any kind of logic or sense, which I find
yep.
very distressing.
He's a complete narcissist, and worse than that, he's an aging narcissist, which means that, you know, I've seen a couple of posts this week by people kind of highlighting the way that, I don't know if you saw the AP, the interview that the AP did with him, the Associated Press, that, I mean, it was the worst circular word salad of an interview I've ever seen. I mean, it was just, it took me almost an hour to read it because I kept having to go back and what, you know, but
did he really say that? Yeah.
Well, and what the hell did that mean? But if you've ever dealt with somebody who is dealing with, you know, early onset of dementia or Alzheimer's or any of those types of disorders, diseases, the way he speaks makes perfect sense. That he may be experiencing some of that. And I think that have the person who is basically the leader of the free world, who continually goes back to, you know, well, I would have won the popular vote, when Porter is asking them a question about something that has nothing to do with that, it makes more sense to me that there's obviously something going on. His brain is not right beyond just being a narcissist and a complete and total asshole.
Mm-hmm. And it's like a little kid, you know, hey, look what I can do. You know, that's what they all remind me of. Yeah. Well, my dad could beat up your dad, you know, type of bullshit. It's like, I'm the biggest and I'm the baddest. And no, you're not.
And with Korea, you know, as a whole, I mean, South Korea, it could be pretty much, I mean, Seoul could be destroyed in a matter of hours.
Yeah.
And China, it really puts China in a really horrible position as well. Because we're kind of expecting them to exert pressure, but I mean, anything that they do, they have to be really careful, you know. I mean, and I'm no fan of China, but I can look at this and recognize that, you know, it puts them in a really difficult
tenuous
position.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, especially if we were to, you know, bomb North Korea. You know, China is, you know, this is all on their doorstep, and
sure.
and how they would respond. Because even if they got involved and said, okay, you know, we're with you, then South Korea is going to feel really threatened because they don't want China, you know, in Korea at all, and China doesn't want us in Korea at all. I mean, so it's just. I feel like neither Trump nor Tillerson, nor the whole administration for that matter, really grasps how delicate this situation is. Or maybe they do. I don't know. McMaster's is pretty with it, and Mattis is not an idiot either. But it just seems like they seem to make really flip statements that in a world that is kind of contingent on diplomacy, that they just, you just can't say, you can't make the kind of statements that they've made
you know, I'm going to be the tough guy, you know, we're not going to blah, 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 you know, really. I feel like it's just, it's dangerous. I don't think anything is going to really come of this. I think it's a lot of saber rattling.
Yeah, saber rattling, yeah. I hope you're right.
But it's very disturbing.
Yeah.
You know, I think I responded to a post that someone else had made on social media and said, you know, Kim Jong-un is like, he's like that kid, you know, we all went to school with one of those kids that, like, would just keep on and keep on and keep on until
yeah.
the teacher smacked them with a ruler, and then
yeah.
they would settle down for a little while until they just got themselves worked up again, and it would be the same thing all over again. And I mean, and I think, you know, it's very similar in that regard. That
yeah. It's pretty high stakes, though. I mean, this
yeah,
is, you know,
very high
I mean,
stakes.
So, you know, I wonder what it's going to take for someone, as I said earlier, before you came on, I wonder what it's going to take for somebody to storm the Oval Office and say, you obviously have realized that this job is more than you can handle, sir. We need to relieve you of duty before you destroy the planet in your first 6 months in office. I mean, where is the disconnect between reality and what needs to happen to get this to stop? So I, you know, there are moments I sit and I laugh about the situation because it's so utterly ridiculous that a reality star is sitting in the Oval Office. By the same token, it's terrifying because he has no fucking filter and he doesn't know when to shut the fuck up. I can't say it any plainer than that. And while there are moments I'm genuinely horrified for the future, I can't, you know, I can't live in that constantly. Do you know what I mean? It's really difficult.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. I think it's really disturbing. I mean, that we're even in this place is disturbing.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what the answer is at this point.
Yeah.
As to, you know, I mean, they definitely have grounds. You know, they could invoke the 25th Amendment
mm-hmm.
and remove him from office. But I really think that all of this stuff with Russia, I mean, it's like every day there is new stuff coming out.
Yep.
Yesterday, the Pentagon said that that Flynn did not gain approval or even tell the Pentagon that he was basically functioning as a foreign agent for Russia because, you know, he accepted money to appear at events
yep.
from the Russian government. And, you know, he should have notified the Pentagon that he was doing that and then sought approval before he did it. And apparently he didn't do that because the Pentagon
right.
says that they have no record of that. I mean, that's pretty serious.
I agree.
And I think that it's being downplayed a lot, not so much in the media, but certainly by the White House. You know, I mean, they've even tried to say that, you know, that that's on the Obama administration. That they should have, you know, that they didn't properly, if they didn't properly vet him, it was because they assumed that he was already vetted because of the position that he held within the Obama administration. But he had already been, they had already
yeah.
fired him, basically.
Yeah.
Before.
The abdication of responsibility is just absolutely frustrating. You know, if something goes right, even though he has nothing to do with it, he claims that it's his accomplishment. If something goes wrong, he blames everyone but himself. He accepts no responsibility, which, you know, I don't understand. When you're commander in chief, what do you think that title means? Have you, you know, you do have a dictionary, I assume, and can look up what commander and chief means. Even if you don't understand the term commander in chief, you can pretty much suss it out from definitions. I find it horrific that he has apparently zero moral compass when it comes to women or anyone who is not him or just like him. You know, we joke about, you know, well, if you're not rich and white and a male, then, you know, you're pretty much shit. You know, this is a joke that we've stated regarding the government forever. Only this time it's really fucking true. This time it's actually happened. He doesn't give a shit. You know, again, no filter, no clue, and no one seems able to stop him.
Well, you know, I mean, I think you also have to recognize that, you know, this is somebody who has lived inside of a bubble pretty mm-hmm. much his whole life. I mean, he's never really, you know, his father earned, you know, his money, and
his father was
born into that.
I said his father was a slumlord. That's how he made his millions. He was a slumlord.
But he amassed a great amount of wealth, and you know, and Trump was born into that, and so I mean, he's probably never actually had to work the way someone, you know, that is middle class or less. You know, I mean, I don't think that he really has any kind of understanding of what that is like, and I think the great irony is that, you know, they made so much within the campaign and still keep talking about, you know, did you hear any of the coverage from the NRA rally that he was at today? You know, where they're talking about, you know, the academic elites and the political elites and you know, and liberals being the enemy of the Second Amendment. But
we're no longer,
you know,
coming for your guns, which we weren't coming for to begin with, you lying sack of shit. Sorry, that's just my feeling. I mean, truth be told.
No, of course not. I mean, the Second Amendment is not going away. And, you know, I mean, in 8 years, you know, Obama never showed up on anybody's doorstep and said, hey, you're going to have to give me your guns. I mean,
exactly.
And just that whole idea is ridiculous anyway, because there are so many guns in this country that, like, even let's say that we started today and we were going to go, you know, make people turn in their guns, go house to house, whatever. Do you realize that in 20 years we still would not have all the guns? I mean, you know, and that's just legal gun ownership. But that, you know, to call people elites when you have a president who is, you know, rumored to be one of the wealthiest people in this country, he has stocked his cabinet quite literally with some of the, you know, he drained the swamp right into his cabinet. And all of the politicians that are, you know, rallying kind of behind him, although they seem to be less exuberant about his position than perhaps they were a few months ago. But all of those people are, I mean, we're talking about people that have a vast amount of wealth. And so there's such a huge irony that they're going to target, you know, these elite academics. Yeah, because, you know, academics make so much money, which, I mean, it's just,
it's hilarious. they don't even, but I think that there is a percentage of the population, excuse me, they just don't understand. But I want to make this point, and I've been kind of harping on this a little bit over the last few months, is that we need to remember that, first of all, in this country, 50% of the population does not vote.
I know. I mean, it's disgusting.
They don't vote, and in local races, it's even less than that. So the people that elected represent a little more than a quarter of the population. If there was ever a time for us to really stand up and to really become involved, now is the time. Because do you really want that 8% of the population that has a really poor understanding of how government works, how finances work, how, the economy, how unions, all of the things that have made this country what it is, that they don't really understand that? Do you really want that 28% to be making those choices for you? If the answer to that is no, then now is the time to get involved. Now is the time to really stand up and get involved, and get involved at the local level.
Oh yeah,
because that's where the biggest change happens. The way all of these fuckers have gotten into office is they started at the local level, and they worked their way up the food chain, and they were backed by, the Koch brothers, and in North Carolina in particular, Art Pope and others of his ilk, and, Alec, which is the American legislative, what is it? It's a council, and it's a think tank, and they are the ones that have been behind 90% of these crappy laws that have gotten passed in places like North Carolina and other states within the country. But now,
yeah,
if you really want to affect change, then you need to fucking vote, and
absolutely,
you need to go to town hall meetings. And every time that there is a protest that is something that you believe in, you need to show up. Like they say, 90% of life is showing up. Well, it's about time we need to show up.
Oh, absolutely.
That's my rant.
but you know what astounds me, Star? Here's what astounds me. His lowest approval rating for any president, as long as they've been keeping track of it, at this stage of his presidency. But here's the kicker. The kicker is that more than half of the people who voted for him do not regret their choice. And those are the people who are going to be hurt the worst. The rural people who can't afford, so many of these folks didn't know that the ACA was Obamacare.
I know.
Isn't that hilarious? Yeah, and now many of them are freaked out. However, in spite of the potential of losing your health care, because, again, apparently health care is now back on the table, even though we thought it was now a done deal, it is not a done deal, because he is embarrassed, and you can't embarrass him without some kind of retaliation. So now he's not going to let anything go until he gets his way. Normally, an intelligent, well-adjusted person realizes that they've lost a particular battle, and they move on to the next thing. But that's not who we're dealing with in this instance. We are dealing with someone who is mired by his id and only follows that. There is no logic. There is no reason. There is only that little brain that says, I want. So he, you know, apparently, even though we thought this was a settled situation, it isn't. And he can do that on anything, anything
well,
he wants.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, but you also have to remember that in the 8 years, well, not even 8 years, because it was less than that, because it took them a couple of years to get their ducks in a row before they passed the ACA. They,
yeah.
Once it was passed, 55 times the Republicans tried to repeal it.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, what, the last couple of years, they had a majority.
Yeah.
So I think, and right now, the Republicans are kind of almost at war with themselves. They'll never have enough votes if they don't get the moderates on board. And the moderates, and you have to remember, all of these people, their end game in anything is they want to get reelected. So
yeah.
I think that, you know, regardless of what Trump wants or doesn't want or thinks or does or whatever, you know, the bottom line when it comes to issues like health care, you know, the bigger danger is I mean, he'll sign anything that they put in front of him. Let's just be clear about that.
He's a puppet.
But,
yeah.
But the Republicans are, you know, they have to agree in order to pass anything. And right now, they don't agree about anything. And so, I mean, I think that only works in our favor. Another thing that Trump did, I can't remember if it was today or yesterday, but he signed an executive order that repeals what Obama had done in protecting the sensitive areas for offshore drilling and exploration.
Yeah.
And on the surface of it, that sounds like something, you know, really horrific. But the good news is that it's probably not going to really affect much of anything other than it'll make, you know, it's more saber rattling because right now gas prices are so unbelievably low.
I know.
That the chances of anybody forking out over the money to, you know, to go after some of these leases and actually do anything with them are, you know, I mean, it's probably not going to happen. And plus, they're looking at, you know, okay, so we outlay all this money to do some, you know, exploration and to determine if it's even a thing to, you know, it's going to be a good thing to drill here. Well, you know, in 4 years, there could be, you know, a completely different administration, and they could be halted right in the middle of whatever they're doing. So I think that there is, you know, there's a tendency to panic when we hear these news reports. But I mean, you have to step back and you have to look at what is the bigger picture. I think ultimately, the fact that Republicans can't agree on a lot of things, I mean, you know, they're talking about, you know, they want to cut the funding for libraries, for God's sakes. You know, who doesn't want libraries? Meals on Wheels, you know, I mean, it's just to circle completely back to where I started this with the local news of, you know, well, we're just going to eliminate delivering babies because we don't make any money at that. The whole definition of government is not designed to make money. That's not how it's designed. It's designed to keep us all from basically murdering ourselves in you know, in really stupid ways, and to keep us safe and provide services and, you know, keep us on a trajectory that is basically sane and healthy. That's what government does. It is not designed to make money. You know, yes, right. It should pay for itself. Yes, it should. But sometimes it doesn't. And
yeah.
I don't think people understand that.
Great.
I mean, you know, I think it's easy to, when we hear these horrible news stories, it's easy to panic.
Yeah.
But I think that in the long run, a lot of what they talk about doing, they're not going to be able to do because they're not going to have the fucking votes to do it. They're just not.
Yeah, but what upsets me even more is the fact that that's what they want to do. The fact that there are people who care so little about their fellow man, you know, they care so little for anyone who isn't just like them, I find really more, you know, morally bankrupt.
Yeah.
You know, these, especially when they promote themselves as Christians, you know, this is the worst bastardization of Christianity that I have ever witnessed in public office. I mean, it's unbelievable. They claim the mantle of piety and then they shit all over the exact people that they're supposed to care about. I don't understand how you square that circle. It doesn't make, it doesn't even make sense to me.
No. Well, it's the conservative Republican Jesus, you know, who loves guns and pregnant women while they're pregnant, but as soon as that baby comes out, well, that's not their problem. you know, I mean,
I can't really, part of,
you know, like Paul Ryan, okay? someone should dig up Ayn Rand and, I don't know, do something horrible to her because she is part of what the problem is. The whole, that whole strain of libertarian thought that, you know, everyone, you know, I've got mine, you get yours, because that is part of the model that Paul Ryan is working off of. And I just don't think that is, it's a model that doesn't work any more than the tax cuts that they're talking about. You know, Reagan demonstrated spectacularly that trickle down economics do not work, and yet we're gonna do this again, really? You know?
Oh yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah.
I don't know what the answer is, honestly, other than the people that think like you and I do.
Yeah.
That think that, you know, there is enough of the pie that everybody can have a piece. If we don't stand up, if we don't participate in government and starting at the local level, then nothing is going to change. Because we've got to, you know, and how many pagans are elected to public office? Okay.
Yeah.
Seriously. How many?
That's
I can name one. That's it. I can name one.
wow.
You know, and that's Kara Schultz, who writes for the Wild Hunt. She got elected to the city council in Burnsville, Minnesota.
Awesome.
Which, by the way, she's a badass. Okay, she's a libertarian. I don't agree with her on some things, but she is a badass. This woman was diagnosed with cancer, was being treated for cancer, like undergoing chemo, beat the streets, knocked on doors, and won the fucking a seat on the city council. It does not get any more badass than that. Imagine that you she had colon cancer, she had a colostomy, and was undergoing chemo treatment and still campaigned and fucking won. The day after the election, she went in and they reversed her colostomy.
Wow.
She is, you know, if you want, you know, someone in the pagan sphere to look at for a role model who is a fucking badass. That woman is a badass. Just
that's
no two
very
ways
cool.
about it.
No, it's awesome.
Love her politics or hate her politics, it doesn't matter. I have an amazing amount of respect for her.
That's awesome. I don't know. I just there are very few pagans who actually want to be that much in the public eye. You know, just the average person having that much exposure is a daunting thing. But to be a politician, to want to be a public service, a servant on top of that, you know, what your family goes through, what your friends
mm-hmm.
will go through, anyone who ever knew you will be asked a litany of questions that nobody else will get asked. And it's not the most comfortable thing, which is why religion really needs to come out of politics. The separation mm-hmm. of church and state, man, we're losing it. It's gone.
Well, the good thing is that no matter how far something swings one direction, eventually it swings back in the other. You know, you can only bend things so far before
I hope.
there is a, you know, a snapback. And, you know, I mean, I firmly believe that what we're seeing with all this, you know, rise of the, you know, the alt-right and all of that white supremacy bullshit is,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a knee-jerk reaction to having a black president, you know, period.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it's unsustainable. And sooner or later, it will swing back in the other direction. The real question is, you know, if they destroy the ACA, which, you know, could have been a lot better than what it ended up being.
Agreed.
You know, I think single payer is the way to go, but that's just me.
Of course. Oh, I
yeah.
So are you kidding? You're preaching to the converted. Come on.
you know, if they do away with it, how many people will die as a result of that being repealed?
Oh,
you know?
Great many.
And that's the real question. You know, it's not whether it will swing back, whether we will, you know, get back to a more centrist position, because I feel confident that we will. But the question is, what will be the cost of that? You know, how many people will die? How many people are going to lose their homes? How many people, you know, whatever, you know, do... We don't really know at this point. And,
no.
You know, like I said, these people that are in office, their end goal is nothing more than to continue to be in office, to get reelected. And I think that as a whole, we forget how much traction we get when we call our elected officials and we say, hey, buddy, I don't fucking like this. And you know what? I'm not only not going to vote for you, I'm going to do everything in my power to get people to vote for someone else. That really
mm-hmm.
does have an impact. You know, especially
yeah.
when they get tens of thousands of calls from constituents. It has an impact. So.
Yeah. There is hope.
There is hope. Well, there's always hope. It's the most terrible thing in the box.
That was funny. Oh my god, you're hilarious. That was good. So Star, what are you doing for Beltane? Enough of this political talk.
For Beltane, well, crazy little husband is out on the road, you know, working for a little Irish band you may have heard of, U2. And
nice.
Wow.
Nice. Very nice. Oh,
so,
my goodness.
I'll be just, you know, I'll be just home by myself. And then Mother Grove Goddess Temple, which I serve on the council for, we have our Beltane, not this weekend, but the next weekend. And mm-hmm. so I'll be attending that. And beyond that, you know, I think we may have to have, periodically I let the cats have a little wine and then they get all crazy and then they drive to Sonic. And, and usually I post about that on Facebook. So I'm thinking Beltane might be a good time to maybe have a cat wino night, and I'll post about it on Facebook.
That'll be hilarious.
The cat singing show tunes is there aren't words for it.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Oh my
God. So what
about
you? What are you going to do for Beltane?
I am going to do a goddess ritual and blessing for all of the concerns of my loved ones for the new season, and try to usher in, you know, a little more light into this otherwise dark situation that's happening. So that's my plan.
Excellent. And Dorian's got the big Piedmont thing, right, this weekend?
Yep. Brouhaha. She's going to that.
Send over to Nkapow.
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 They're an acronym.
And hopefully, poor, speaking of which, if anybody in the area is going, be careful because the ground is still soft. Evil twin wound up in the hospital with a twisted ankle. I haven't checked back in, but she was injured. So we're sending out some love to her tonight.
Yes.
But I bet she's happy, no kitchen duty. So yay.
Yay. Out of kitchen duty. Always good. We can deal with that. Oh my goodness. So Star, do you want to push anything else before we wrap up, my dear?
No, just if you're thinking about, you want to do something interesting and fun in July, come to Mystic South.
Absolutely.
And register now because it'll be cheaper than at the door. But it's, check us out online. It's mystic-south.com. And, if you think you might want to come, you should check it out because we would love to have you. It's going to be amazing. And
yay,
if you come, then you can say, I was there the first year.
That's right, man. You can be part of the legacy of the Mystic South Conference. Get in on the very first one. Be a part of what we are hoping will be history and something that will continue for generations. So I want to encourage everybody to look it up online. We'll post the link again to the Mystic South Conference. It is in Atlanta. It is July 21st through the 23rd at the Atlanta Perimeter Hotel. We are going to have a blast. Come on and get in on the fun. It is the first one, and you don't want to miss out on the first one. Trust me. It's going to be great. Yes.
Rah, rah, rah.
Oh, I talk about it a lot. Trust me. I do talk about it a lot. Well, Star Bustamante, I love you. I will speak to you again soon, very soon, actually, because I have some questions for you. Thank you again for coming on and spending some time with us. And you're going to be back on again just before the conference. So I'm really excited to hear about where we're at and how far we've gotten and the last minute details, and we're just going to tell everybody to be there.
Yeah. Thank you both so much. I love you and Dorian so much, Raina. You both do such a great
great Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
So your show is great, and I feel like it is always a privilege and an honor to be on your show. So I really just big love to both of you.
Well, we love you too. You're an amazing person, and I'm honored to know you, and even more blessed to call you friend. I really mean that, and I do need to drop you a line like tomorrow because I got some questions.
Hey, well, hit me up. I'll be around all day.
All right, baby. Thank you. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you
both. Have
you
a great
so much.
Night.
You too, doll. Blessed
Happy
darling.
Happy birthday.
And to you.
Night. And
thank
night.
You.
Thank you. Night. Oh my God! I just want to grab her face and kiss her face because she's so sweet and so adorable and so, I don't know. She's what I like to call a practical pagan. You know, she's very down to earth, good people, lover. She's amazing, and I'm so glad she started this conference. And I love her insights and her views on everything that's happening because, you know, she makes me feel better too. You know, just. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. So I love hearing that. Anyway,
yeah.
Sis, it's the eve of Beltane weekend, so let's wrap this up and bless everybody and send them on their way. What do you say?
I say let's do it. We love you guys.
All right,
thank
girl.
You guys for coming.
Yep.
Look for some new and exciting stuff. We will be back next week with Mr. Taliesin Gobanin for the first of the month. Our political
That's
show.
Right.
Enjoy your Beltane if you're celebrating. Have a safe and happy weekend, and we will talk to you all soon. Love you guys.
Blessed Beltane. Love you guys. Night.
Bye.